From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. I didn't do one in high school, but in middle school, I think my project had to do with crushing soda cans using hot and cold air, and of course, science. The high school science fair is an experience some kids point to when talking about why they got into STEM, or science, technology, engineering, and math. Well, this week we got news that chipmaker Intel was dropping its financial support for the International Science and Engineering Fair, or ISEF. To try and find out why, we got the nonprofit behind these fairs on the line, the Society for Science and the Public. Its president and CEO is Maya Ajmera. Maya, why did Intel back out?
You know, you would have to go in and talk to them about why they pulled out. They haven't really given us a reason, but they have been an extraordinary partner with us for 20 years.
So wait, they've been a partner with you for 20 years, but they didn't give you a reason?
Not really, no. They did not give us a reason. But they have been a great partner, and we're looking forward to finding our next sponsor of the International Science and Engineering Fair.
Who would you like that to be?
You know, I am not going to tell you that. I am open to an extraordinary swath of incredible companies out there who really believe in the importance of investing in our young innovators.
So what's the price tag on that for a sponsor?
Right now, that price tag is at $15 million.
A year for 5 years.
That's correct.
Is one of the things that's happening here competition that you're having to engage in with hackathons and maker fairs and things like that?
So let me just tell you about Maker Faire is that all of our ISEF kids are makers, okay? So we've been doing this work for, you know, 50 plus years. We have been a major legacy, and we have a legacy around the science fair competitions in this country and around the world. So our kids are makers.
Is there a way for you to give me a sense of why you think this is happening then? I know that you haven't had a reason given to you by Intel, and you obviously feel that this work that you do is really incredibly important. So why are you guys in this position, do you think?
We were in this position literally a year and a half ago with the Science Talent Search. We were very, very honored to have Regeneron, a biotech company founded by two alums, actually, that took on the sponsorship.
So is your argument here that essentially this just happens from time to time and you have to deal
with
that?
Priorities, you know, priorities change. And I think Intel is the best person for you to talk to about their own reasons.
Fair enough. Maya Ajmera is the president and CEO of Society for Science and the Public. Maya, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
By the way, Intel declined our request for an interview, but they sent us a blog post from the company which says its support of STEM education is evolving. You can read that post at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Russia's use of technology and influence is in the news a lot right now. Today, we're going to take a break from that news and explore the use of tech in Russia over the years by an American. Lisa Dickey is the author of a new book called Bears in the Streets, Three Journeys Across a Changing Russia. The book documents three separate trips that Dickey took across the country, one in 1995, one in 2005, and one in 2015. And consumer tech played a pretty interesting role in all three of those trips. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So tell me about connecting to the internet from inside Russia in 1995.
So in 1995, this was a very tricky proposition. Gary Matoso, this photographer, and I went across the whole country and through Siberia. You know, he had this notion that we were going to upload photos and text and have a real-time web travelogue, which nobody was doing at the time.
Yeah.
And so I said, I don't even understand how you think we're going to do this. But Gary had made this deal with Sprint, and I didn't know this before going, but Sprint had all these telecom nodes across Russia, even in the mid-90s.
Right. They were like an early service provider for that country, right? Early
cell
service.
And I had
provider.
No idea yeah. about that, but Gary had made this deal with them. And so there were some cities where there was like literally we would go to the offices and like connect somehow to the Sprint node. This is what I remember is Gary saying, we're going to connect to the nodes. And I'm like, okay, great.
Sounds like Western Union or something. You have to go to like an actual brick and mortar.
Yes, exactly.
Or whatever,
right? And then there were some places where we would dial up and we would try to send these photos. And the funny thing is, you know, we had to shrink these photos to very, very tiny size, 25 kilobytes. And it still took hours to send them. And we were always in a panic that, you know, the line was going to cut out and, oh, my God, we're going to have to start over.
It's like you, these days you sneeze on a laptop and it uploads 25
yeah,
kilobytes.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Different times.
How has the technology that you used over the three decades changed?
Incredibly drastically. On the second trip, there was like internet cafes everywhere. People had, it was a lot easier to connect. And so this time, my carrier didn't have any extra charges for texting, FaceTiming, and using data across Russia, which was extraordinary to me. So I literally would be standing on a boat FaceTiming with loved ones back home. And I just thought, this is just bonkers that I can do this, considering how incredibly difficult everything was in 1995.
Lisa Dickey is the author of the new book, Bears in the Streets, Three Journeys Across a Changing Russia. Lisa, thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, Ben.
By the way, Dickey plans to return in 2025. By then, maybe she'll just send a drone on her behalf. And before we go, it may not be a subtle name, but the website tellontrump.com does seem to be following a trend. It is a tips website from Gizmodo Media, designed to help people securely or anonymously reach out to reporters with information on bad behavior in government by the president and his administration or otherwise. Apparently, fear of surveillance and the assumption of malfeasance is in. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.